Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers and Rossi's Clubhouse members as well. This is our collaboration with Rossi's Clubhouse. This is actually my good friend and co-host's side project that she does, and I also am the producer and director of that podcast. So go on ahead and check out her podcast. It's a fantastic one on the audio podcast and also on the video podcast. Go on and check out Rossi's Clubhouse. Today, we are going to be talking about Matt Mars's documentary short film called The Black Mark, Scars Has Stars. I'm going to say this is a fantastic documentary. So let's go on ahead. But further ado, let's go on ahead and review this. And here we go. And hey, Rossi.
What's up, John? How are you doing? What's up, everyone?
Hey, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like I said, we're going to be doing Black Mark, The Stars Have Scars. This actually won the best documentary film for the Holly Shorts Film Festival for the sports documentary section. So congratulations to Matt and his team for doing this documentary. And I'm just going to say this. This is a hands down one of my favorite documentaries of this year. And just to give you guys a little heads up on what this is actually about, I'm just going to break down the synopsis and then we'll go on from the review. But here's the thing. It looks at how Matt Barnes and basically in conflict with empathize by his black mark, and then using episodes of racism throughout his life, both entered and helped shape the man, the basketball player, and ultimately the powerful media voice he is today. So it opens up with Tupac in the background with staring through my rear view. And I just love how Matt is just driving down the road on the LA freeway. The music is used as a way to basically connect with Matt and him, looking back at the events in his life and putting the events he went through at his rear view and looking at what's in front of him. And that's what I got from the intro.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was a great intro. Who doesn't like Tupac? But it wasn't just you know, just because it's Tupac. I get that he's a fan of Tupac, but this actually fits the documentary. And I was telling John that each song that he uses, it actually absolutely fits that segment of whatever's going on in that documentary. So I thought the soundtrack was absolutely perfect for this film, and being that he's a California Sacramento native. So perfect.
Most definitely. Love that. And here's the thing. I'm a fan of music. As long as it's represented in the way of storytelling and it's actually fitting the narrative of what they're telling. Matt does a fantastic job of giving us things through his lenses and putting things in his perspective. Right. And that's something that I really love about this whole entire thing. And then, of course, he stops on the freeway. You see these old TV sets that we grew up.
Oh, that was great.
And I like how he's looking back at his life on all the events. You had, you had the Bulls winning the championship. Then you also have Bill Clinton, the allegations against Bill Clinton. Then it goes into the forefront of what Matt is going through in his life. And putting us as he is actually in the forefront of our lenses and giving us a glimpse of what he went through at that time.
I was absolutely shocked by what he went through. But before that even happens, just like you said, the way that they set up the production was great on this film, by the way. The way that they set up the TVs and him watching the events that's gone on in his life. And I love how he addresses the fact that, he's rowdy. He's gotten into some trouble. You know, he's in your face. He's not going for the BS. He stands on, truth. And I love that about him. And it doesn't matter what money's on the line for whatever. If it's right, it's right. And I'm standing for that. And I can lose millions, but I'm standing on what I know to be the truth. And I love that about him. So he addresses that early on in the film, and so there's no way you can watch this film and he's not, making himself seem like a saint. He's showing you, the things that he's been involved in. But then when you realize where that came from, as far as his upbringing and what happened at the school, in his neighborhood, I did not know. And it was just, that was racism on like a whole nother level. I mean, this is in the 90s, A major part of it happened in 98. I think it was his last year of high school. And to see what he went through in the 90s I was blown away by it, absolutely blown away by it. And I'm happy that he spoke about that, because you get to know a little bit more about him and maybe why he is the way he is and things he went through because of, this stuff happening to him and his family.
Exactly. And that's something I want to bring up too, but I want to also say this. I like how he has Snoop Dogg in this though too, talking about this. And I think because of the things that Snoop went through, he also has to have that type of thing too, where he also has to be that straight edge person too.
Right.
The events that he happened. But also too, Snoop is not going to go ahead and follow someone just for the sake of following someone. He has to have a reason to follow someone. And Matt is actually someone that represents who Snoop is. And
Snoop because Snoop's a huge, everyone knows Snoop is a huge sports fan, loves basketball, probably at every Lakers game. I mean, he loves the sport. So him being in this film absolutely made sense. And the fact that, like you said, he follows Matt. He finds Matt to be a dope player. So seeing him in the film was absolutely fitting, because everyone knows Snoop loves sports.
Exactly. But I want to bounce off of something that you said, though, too. I feel like he needed to be that straight edge person in the NBA because of the events that he went through. He is this is what I'm going to say. He reminds me of a touch of Dennis Rodman with a touch of Michael Jordan. With the way he plays, he's like competitiveness. He's got that hard edge like Rodman does. He will try and punk you out inside the basketball court. Look what he did with Kobe and him facing off against each other. He didn't flinch once. Kobe didn't flinch when Ray was on there. But it just goes to show you after everything he went through in high school, and then going into the NBA and stuff like that too, he actually had to be that straight edge person and be like, "Hey, look. I'm in this for the right reasons. I'm not going to touch any money unless I know that this is what I need to do for my life and stuff like that." I also like how he's straightforward and honest. And the person in the documentary said, the thing that I can say about Matt is he's actually honest. He's what you see is what you get. And this is exactly what I got from him.
And most people, I mean, at that level, you know, where the level where Matt was NBA, I mean, he reached that level. And it wasn't easy for him. I mean, he had to work hard to get in the NBA, and he was switched from this team to that. I mean, he worked for his position, you know, in the NBA. So it wasn't as easy as it may come for some people that, you know, do really good, go there, get on this team. He worked right. hard to get there. And I think there was a clip, I think it was his sister that said it took 14 years for him. You know, like he worked really hard to get there. But the things that he went through, and I do want to mention this really quick, you guys. So Matt went to Del Campbell High School. That's in Fair Oaks, California. I'm in Sacramento, California. Fair is probably maybe 10 minutes away from where I'm at, okay? He graduated in 1998. He went to college, UCLA, 1998 to 2002. He was drafted in the NBA in 2002, 46th overall pick. Don't you feel like those things that he went through as a teenager, as horrible as it was, it did build him up for what the greatness that he was going to be, but also in the world of the NBA, that's not hard. The things that you have to go through, he still had to deal with certain types of racism when he was on the Clippers, you know, the owner, you know, right. when that scandal happened, when the owner was, you know, caught on, you know, what caught on, not on camera, but in a voicemail. Yeah.
And everything, telling the mistress, hey, look, you need to delete everyone that's a person right. color off of your IG. And also too, Magic Johnson. And here's the thing, majority of the people that play for the Clippers are people of color.
Right.
So they're gonna go on ahead and get rid of the people that represent and stand out to who the Clippers are.
Right.
Because this is all you care about is, like Snoop said, all you care about is making money off of us. You don't right. care about us.
It's absolutely
greed. And the corporate greed aspect of it got him banned from the NBA for life, yep. and he should.
Yeah, absolutely, he should have. But the fact that he's still going through that, you know, that he still was dealing with racism, you know, mm-hmm. At that level, you know, people think that when you make money and you do well, you're exempt from racism because you know people love you and people, you know, but you know, behind closed doors, you know, is how they really feel and what they're saying. It's just everyone's being politically correct, game. You know? Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. So his backdrop from high school and getting into the NBA and then, you know, you're like, well, maybe that's why he got into the situations he got into or why he wouldn't back down or why you weren't going to poke him, you know? No. And you see that from his childhood. But also, I love the fact that he spoke on his relationship with his mom.
Me too. That
closely were.
I want to be real with you. That actually is the most relatable thing for me because my mom had breast cancer. Not only did okay. she have breast cancer, but my dad also died of Alzheimer's right. like in January and also had cancer as well.
Right, right.
And lung cancer. Right. So this shot home for me because I can relate to Matt and what he was going through because, yeah, I do a podcast and stuff like that, but I also felt like I was empty at that time.
Yeah. Yeah,
it says Matt was also empty and feeling loss over the yeah. over his mother's death, being in right. that depression and trying to get himself out of that depression, right. and then his mom also saying, "Look, you got to go ahead and play another game."
Right.
I think if his mother didn't say, "Hey, look, Matt, you need to play another game," he would probably be he wouldn't have won the championship right. that he did in 2022.
Right. right. Absolutely. And so. He did. He won an NBA championship with the Golden State Warriors, and it was in his final season, 2017. He won that, and that was after his mom had told him, you need to get back in the game. And I love how he talked about, you know, when he lost his mom, how the team, you know, rallied around him, how they were there for him, for support, the coaches, like, just what someone needs. Because he mentions that besides his family, his other family is on the court. You know, you spend a lot right. of time with these guys. You know, this is who you're with, with them. You're traveling with them. You get to know them. You get to know their family. So it was nice that he had them to fall back on. And I just loved how open he was with his story. And
same here.
You know, should we talk about the high school event? Kind of let them know, like, how deep this was. Like, this wasn't just a...
Yeah, I want to get... We're going to touch on that, though, too. But I also want to touch on this, too.
Yeah.
The family side of the basketball stuff was actually the We Believe...
Yes.
Team, and he was also playing for the Golden State Warriors and won the championship in 2022. Donald Sterling was actually the business owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. I just want to put that little small thing in there of giving context of who the person was that we were talking about with the whole IG thing.
Yes.
Let's go on ahead. Let's talk about now with the whole racism inside the school system and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it started with the neighborhood where they lived at. They had a white supremacist, and the neighbor would taunt them. And a big way of taunting them was to hang a rebel flag outside of their window, neighbor's window. And I love how he talked about his dad was a badass too. Like, you get where Matt gets that from, because it's his dad. And so his dad goes outside, smokes a cigarette, and lights the flag up. And it starts a huge, huge problem in the neighborhood. But that's just to give you, like, in their home where, you know, a man's castle, they're dealing with this neighbor next door. But then at the high school, so Matt was a great basketball player. He took the team to, what, championships? Like, this team won because of him, and everyone loved him. Well, there was an incident where his sister was had gotten to it with this kid.
Who was racist, right?
Yeah, this kid, and the kid just totally goes off on his sister, calls her the Black Bee, the N-word, and spits on her. And she does what any little sister would do. She went and told her brother. And John, you could pick it up from that point.
Yeah, at that point, Matt goes into another classroom the next day, beats the snot out of this kid.
Yes.
And he said, and then I like how he said, I don't regret one damn thing about it. I would do it again, too. And then also the same thing when some of the other stuff that's mentioned in the documentary that we're not going to go into.
Right.
But he's like, that's my sister. You don't talk about my sister. I can handle myself, but you're not going to come after her.
Right.
And I just like how he just goes into a classroom and beats the snot out of the kid because he had every right to do that.
Yeah.
And then you also have someone that's actually related to you that's in the white supremacy.
Right.
And he's getting death threats from them.
Yes.
They actually did a graffiti of the swastika. They also burned down the bathroom.
Bathrooms, yeah.
So the one place that you feel like you're safe in your own neighborhood is when you don't be at school. It's like, okay, I faced everything at school. But now you're having to face your neighborhood. And also, too, your old family member who's a member of the white supremacy.
Right.
And then you're going to have to go on ahead and move out of that neighborhood because of that. Because they only have a hit on you. That is deep.
Right. And, you know, you would think that we're talking about a story from 1950-something, 1960-something. This was in 1978 that this happened. This was in his last year of high school that it ramped up. And to be given for the skinheads to give a glee to off Matt, like, that happened. That happened in Sacramento, California, 1998. It's nuts that he went through that, but he stood on it. He wasn't even done with the kid. Like, remember, he wanted to catch the kid after school and really go off on him because he saw his sister with spit still in her hair. She's crying. And he mentioned in his household, you protect the young ones. You protect your family. And that's his little sister. That's what you do. So for him to say, I don't regret it, I would do it again. Of course.
Definitely.
Of course. And you guys can see, like, there's news clips, KCRA, you can go back. When you watch the film, you guys will see the clips of everything that we're talking about, because they actually interviewed Matt as a young teenager and asking him, how do you feel about this, you know? And he let them know, he, like, a place where he goes to school at in his own neighborhood, this is going on. And let me tell you, they graffitied up that whole school. They said every hallway had graffiti. Graffiti. And you see it on the news. What I thought was sad about it was how fast the school, and this is at Del Campo High School, okay, that he went in Fair Oaks, California, how he mentioned how the school just, they wanted to get rid of it. They wanted to sweep it under the carpet. They didn't want to talk about it anymore. So it took for the NAACP to reach out to then make this, the story became even huger because
right,
they had no protection. And you want to tell what the NAACP had to do for Matt and his family.
So basically they would have to go ahead and move them out of the basically that's part of the town and make them have a new home and everything, which is a sad thing because they
didn't
go to
school and protect them at school.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. They also have going ahead. They have bodyguards.
Yes, outside of the classroom.
Which is shockingly that he had to go through something like that in his teens to have bodyguards around him.
Right.
This is even before the NBA, before anybody signed him.
You
get bodyguards when you get signed or when you have protection. Not when you're in high school, when you deserve to see the best damn time of your life.
Yeah.
And having the experiences that you need to have experience as a high schooler. And now you're having to actually become basically an adult at an early age because of the events that are around you and having to have bodyguards surrounded you as well.
Right.
Oh, it's deep.
Yeah, it was really deep. That story blew me away. And I was telling, you know, the people that I work with here in Sacramento, everyone knows about that story. John said that he even saw it on the news in Johns in Mississippi. That's how huge this story got, and I'm happy that it got huge because it needed to be exposed. Because
I remember, matter of fact, Rossi, I remember this. I was eating dinner with my family and with my mom and all, because I was young or whatever. But I remember Matt being on the TV. I remember the interviewer asking him that. I'm like, wait, I'm actually having flashbacks of this.
Right.
And at that time, I didn't know who Matt was or anything like that. I didn't know.
Right.
But it just saddened me. Because I was not taught racism. I was taught treating people for who they are, not because of the color of their skin, and accepting who they are and accept differences of people and stuff like that too. And it makes me sad to see something like this happen, especially in the 90s when something like this happening. And it's just sad to see that.
It angers me. Absolutely. And me, you know, obviously I'm black. I'm black, by the way. But, you know, I mean, growing just in case you didn't know, but growing up, you know, and I remember in my household, the way that, you know, race was dealt, we did the same thing. We weren't raised, you know, you judge people by who they are not. But we were also told that, you know, there's going to be some people that if they lose an argument with you and they're not the same color as you, they're going to say, you know, call you the N-word, you know, and my mom would make sure, you know, that we dealt with that accordingly. I mean, my older sister, you know, she would fight. Like, she would absolutely fight. She would defend us. The same thing, my older brother. I remember my...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. savor a small hot or iced coffee. Then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Sister and I, when we were younger, we would cry when someone would call us that, you know, because we didn't understand it. Like, and these could be friends of yours that were friends, but once you get into it, once they lost that argument, you know, that was the first word that they would call you. So knowing when you're Black and you're growing up in America, that that could be a possibility of something happening, and then being in a interracial relationship, like children that are biracial, you know, them going through that, you know, and, you know, my husband and I, you know, getting strange stares and all, but nothing happened to the level of what happened with Matt. Nothing ever happened at that level. And that's what was surprising. Like it's in the 90s, and it's not like, you know, you would think that we were further along in the 90s. So that's why I'm telling you guys, this story sounds like we're talking about something that happened in the 50s or 60s, and this was 98.
It kind of reminds you of like a doc. And I know this is a doc, but it actually feels like a biopic. Like we're actually talking about something from a biopic.
Yeah.
And, but there's also something else too. Like they went as far as having a mannequin with his number on it.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And hanging the mannequin. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah. That's what my, like, y'all hated him that bad. Like, you went, the kids, because he beat this kid's ass, that deserved it. That did some dirty shit. No, we don't want, that's, leave that alone. When they hung that mannequin and had his jersey on it, like, I was dumbfounded.
Me too. Because you would think that people would actually teach the kids from right from wrong, but then again, racism is not something you're born with. It's something that's taught. You're taught.
Absolutely.
You're taught racism. You're taught the
hate. Yes.
And everything. So I blame the parents for teaching the kids
absolutely
at that age.
Right.
And saying, hey, it's okay to be this way. It's not okay to be a piece of shit ball bag.
Exactly. And I wonder, did anyone reach out to him? Did anyone reach out to his family? Did any? Because it sounds like, I know that his coach now, his high school coach and basketball team that he was on, they were there for him. They believed him. They stood right there by him and stuck with him in a family.
That's something I love.
Did any of the other teachers, did any of the fathers of kids, did they rally around him? You know, there was a quick story. When my sister and I were in grade school, Joanne was in sixth grade. We lived in Kaiser, Oregon. And, she went to Kennedy Elementary. Anyways, we noticed everyone. There was this one little girl. Joanne comes home from school and says this one little girl called her the N-word and tried to get other kids to do that too. Well, my mother, being who she was, walks across the street to the school, talks to the principal, talks to the teacher, and wanted to know, like, we need to handle this because my mom's like, that's not happening with my kids. They're not going to be afraid to go to school. Do you know by that next Monday, the family of the kids at the school, everyone rallied around my sister to where the little girl that called her that didn't want to come to school the next day. She thought that being that Joanne was one of the only Black kids at the school, that everyone would rally around her and her family. The little white girl that did this, and it did not happen. The whole school rallied around my sister, my mom. I mean, it was something that needed to be brought up. My mom sparked the conversation, you know, talking about racism. They did a special class for it. And then the mother of the kid, you know, showed up at our house and apologized. She was so ashamed that her daughter said that, but her daughter's in sixth grade. Where did she get that from? Anyways, and it was cleaned up. But I didn't see or hear that anyone else in his school or other parents came and said, we are so sorry what happened with Matt, because it was just senseless.
I'll be real with you. I think a lot of it has to do with the politics within the school itself. It has to do with backlash of the white parents.
Right.
They're looking at it from all different sides here and stuff like that. Right. They're afraid if they side with something that is wrong, they're going to get attacked for doing something that they feel like is, you know what I'm saying? It's basically saying,
I get you.
The parents are going to get pissed off at me because of the fact, even though I'm sticking up for something right, then their eyes are going to see it as something wrong.
Right.
And if I go ahead and approach it this way, it's going to be wrong. So, you know, it's like, what the hell do I do? How do I, but to be honest with you, in order for you to have peace, you have to stir up something.
Right.
Within the body.
Right.
You can't just be like, I'm just a peaceful person. I don't want to.
No, you can't.
You have to attack it on like how Matt attacked it on and how.
Absolutely.
Proceeded. Otherwise, nothing gets changed. And that's the thing. That's something that I really have to say about this doc is you have to be out there and with the people, and we have to have that where we're not going to take this anymore.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Also, too, I like how your mom built this community, because that's what it is. It's a community of people
coming together. Yeah. Yeah.
And holding stuff for people to go to attend and to be themselves. That is fantastic. And I like how Matt put this.
It was great. It was great. Thank her for that. You know, that was, and that town needed it. You know, we were kind of, I think we were the only two or maybe there were four in that town, but at this school in Kaiser, that was just my sister, and that happened. And so, so that changed everything, you know, but, and that's the thing that I loved about this documentary was, like you said, the changes that were made. You know, I know if this high school still goes through it, you don't hear about it, but I'm sure that that situation changed everything, because living out here now, you know, you don't experience that. It's just, it's a different community. And you would think that it would be that way in 98, but it wasn't. So it's like some people have to go through things to, you know, for changes to happen. And Matt was built for that, you know what I mean? And we see that today, just, you know, watching what he does today, the fact that he comes to, back to communities and the activism that he does, getting in the communities, trying to change, like, you know, police and citizen relations.
That's what I want to talk on, too.
Go ahead.
Brutality of George Floyd. And then you have the other stuff that happened. Who shoots a kid 20 times in a hoodie? That pissed me off. I'm like, what you're doing is racial profiling. Is what you're doing. But I like how Matt goes on and said, look, they don't know us. These cops don't know us. So let us show them who we are and be better than anything. And so that way we can be a standout in this community so we can show them.
And I also love the fact that, you know, he speaks about, like you said, the police, you know, like they don't know us, you know, and we don't know them, you know, and they need to get out of their cars, walk the communities, get out and know the people in a community. You're in that community with them. However many hours a day, you're with those people. Get out and talk to them. Get to know them. Get to know their kids. Where a five-year-old isn't afraid of a cop. That shouldn't be how it is. You know what I mean? Make it better so that that five-year-old, you know, back in the days, you know, just, you know, Dennis the Menace days, you're officer friendly. You know, that was a thing. When the cops would go to the school when I was in elementary school and give out stickers and get to know you.
Programs.
To where you weren't afraid. They should do that. They need to do that so that you know who so-and-so is at 5 and at 12. You know, that cop. And that person knows that cop's name so that it's not so tense when they come into the community to where the community's afraid of you. You know, I have two boys, you know, and I, you know, you talk to your kids about how to interact with the police, you know, when they started to drive, you know, how your hand should be if they ask you for the, I mean, going through that with my boys when they were in, you know, middle school and high school, you know, but he proposed a great thing. And I think that we should do that. Cops should do that. The community so that we're not each afraid of each other. It shouldn't be like that. And I love that he comes back to Sacramento and he stands for a lot of causes here. You know, when the protests happened here in Sacramento, like you see in the film, he was in the front lines. I love that. And I want to ask him about that when we do interview him on Wednesday.
Me too. It's going to be an exciting interview. I cannot wait to sit down with him.
Right.
Because this is something that just stuck with me through the whole entire week. I watched this documentary at least 8 times just to get everything down that I wanted to ask and also being able to do this review. But I also want to mention the fact that nothing came easy for Matt at all. between him getting in the draft and stuff like that too, and him pursuing the things that he needs to pursue, and then him having his own podcast, and then just doing things in the community to help others.
Right.
And I think that in order to have change, you have to put yourself out there. Otherwise, because I have a strong belief, a person that talks and is outspoken, you can get a lot done. A quiet person that just sits behind those quiet lines, you don't get nothing done.
No.
But
And I respect the fact, like I said earlier, something comes up and it's a situation and it may cost him millions, but it's the right thing to do. I love that he's not bound by the money. You know, some of them get to that level to where they make decisions based on that money. And it could be, they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong, but they're bound to that. With him, I didn't get that from him because of the situations he's been in. You know, it like he said, certain things cost him a lot of money because he, you know, spoke up to someone or someone said something back and you're not going to talk crazy to him. Like, it's not going to happen. I don't care what I'm making, I'll take that loss. And I respect that about him. And I feel like when people see this documentary, you guys who are sports fans and who do know Matt Barnes and knows all the controversial things that he's been involved with, you have a better understanding of, okay, yeah, I get that. Okay, I get why he's like that. I understand that because you look at, and this is not, this is a teenager that when this stuff happens, so it could have really messed his mind up and his outlook on people because of what he went through. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. I appreciate that. Most people would have taken that and just kept the hate for people in their heart and just, and that will kill you. He didn't do that. He turned that all around, but he got involved and to make change because he's been there and he's a person that could have you know what I mean? He didn't do that. No. And I appreciate that. He turned it around and made it something positive.
I have nothing but respect for Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's done and he's accomplished. And even with him being a football player in high school, and then that was his number one, and then he uses the football, his football athleticism for the court. He had that rawness too.
Yeah.
He has a sense of balance of things. I mean, Matt, to me, is a big standout for me.
Right.
He represents who we are as podcasters too.
Yes.
And we go through struggles and everything ourselves with different things. So like
not easy.
No, it's not easy. We've been through a lot of stuff. Rossi and I share the same stuff.
Yes, we have.
But here's the thing though. We keep on pursuing. We keep on doing what we do. We do this for you guys. And this is also how Matt feels too, I think, where he's like, I've got to keep going. Because I need to be that salt and light for somebody else in their life. So that's, but yeah, I definitely enjoy this documentary. I definitely enjoy this. No wonder why it won the best sports documentary for the short film in the Holly Shorts Film Festival.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely see it. I was glued to it as soon as I watched it for the second time last night when I got home from work. Put my earphones on, watched it on my laptop again, and I'm sitting there and I'm just into this film and crying at certain parts when his mom dies and that part. And you hear Tupac's, you know, Dear Mama, and the way that was cut. I'm just sitting there and I'm on the couch with, you know, tissue and just, it's, you can feel his hurt from that.
Speaking of Tupac, did you want to touch on how he incorporated Tupac into his life and into this doc?
Absolutely. So, you know, John and I and millions of others are Tupac fans, but we really love Tupac.
Tupac.
Yeah, we sure did. And you can go check that out on our Patreon, guys.
On all audio podcasting platforms now as well.
Yes, absolutely. Check out our Tupac episode. But what I liked about it was obviously opening up with Staring in my rear view. I one of my favorite songs. Love that. But certain sound bites of Tupac talking at those interviews. And I love when he played them when he was talking about the riots that happened in 2020. I love when he would play Tupac talking about, you know, the rose that grew through concrete, ending the movie. that also made me tear up because, you know, it's like Matt. He's a rose that grew up through concrete, and you see it, and you just see all the messed up leaves on the rose and how crooked it looks, but you don't realize that it freaking grew through concrete. I love that he used that. I love the California love, and just, it was just great. You guys will love the soundtrack, and you'll get like, oh my gosh, that made sense. You know, I couldn't think of anyone else to feature in this film as far as musically other than Tupac, because it fits his life so well and many different aspects of his life. So you guys will enjoy that too. It was great.
Exactly. And the name of the is also, there's a Gangsta Party. That song.
Yes, California Love. Absolutely. Yeah, and then Gangsta Party with Snoop.
Yep. You also had a little bit of Will getting jiggy with it with Will Smith in this.
That's right. Yeah, you had a little Will Smith. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't talk about this. I talk about this documentary to everybody at my workplace and stuff like that. But guys, look, I promise you, if once we find out when this is going to be released to the public, stuff like that, I'll put it in the description so that you guys can view this. Absolutely. But just us talking about it, you have to experience it for your own selves. Yeah. Because I'm giving this doc a 2 thumbs up.
Absolutely.
This is a 10.
And we don't normally rate docs, you know, you don't normally rate. But no, for real, this really is a good documentary. I'm so happy that he won for Best Sports Documentary at the Holly Schwartz Film Festival. Congratulations to you, Matt, and everyone who worked on this documentary with you. You guys did a really good job. And thank you so much for sharing your story, for letting us know these things that happened in your life and who made you who you are today. You got three beautiful children, and I'm sure they're proud of their dad. I do want to mention again that Matt Barnes, Del Campo High School, you guys can read up about that, find out what happened to him there. And everything else is in the history books. I mean, who doesn't know Matt Barnes? You know, but you will know him a lot more and understand him a lot more watching this documentary. So thank you for allowing us to view that.
Thank you so much, Matt. And thank you to your team. Thank you to Nathan, your publicist, for reaching out to me and having our conversations back and forth throughout the week. But yeah, that's it. That's going to be it for the review. We will be back sometime next week. We have a couple of shows. I know you have some stuff for the Rossi's Clubhouse segment.
Right.
Do you want to go ahead and put that out there?
Yes. So I have on Monday, we have YNG4L and Mello the Man. They're going to come back in. They have a collab album that they worked on. It's called King Talk. Sacramento artist, street platinum, guys. Absolutely street platinum. So they're going to come. They're going to be here at 5 o'clock. We're going to go live at 5 o'clock on Monday because they have a show they're doing that evening. And we have a host of other people coming to Rossi's Clubhouse. And you guys will see John and I doing a lot more reviews together. We have a lot coming for you guys and in our interview on Wednesday.
Right, which I'm excited for. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep for that interview.
But... yeah, so many questions. I can't wait to talk about it, and some awesome questions I'd love to ask him.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for the show. Guys, give us a 10-star review over on the audio podcast. You guys can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcasts at. That's where you can find us at. But if you're watching right now, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button, go over there and visit Rossi at the Rossi's Clubhouse. Go on ahead, smash that like button over there, subscribe button over there, show her some love, show her some love on the shorts. And always, until next time, guys, we'll catch you guys on the next one. And thank you so much, Matt, thank you for allowing us to review this. And we are out. Have a great and safe day and enjoy your weekend.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit yvaccines.com.